Thanks for listening to the Vertical Student Ministries podcast. We hope you are encouraged and challenged by what you hear.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Vertical Leadership Podcast. It is so great to have you guys listening with us wherever you may be listening, in the car, at the gym, out for a run, out for a walking of the dog, whatever you're doing. We're so glad you're listening. It is a great, great day. And today we are blessed to have not one, but two friends on the podcast today. We have Miss Anna Johnson, who is our student ministries administrator right here in the office of Vertical. How you doing today, Anna?
I am doing great.
Good. And also we have a friend who's not even a guest at this point anymore. He's just another dude we call up when we need to talk. So Mr. Cody Duff, how you doing, man?
I'm doing really well, Reggie. Thanks for having me back, man.
Oh, man. Well, I know this subject that we're talking about today is something near and dear to both your hearts. And so I was like, I can't pick just one of these people to talk about. And so we're just going to do a little twofer. We're going to do the Enneagram for Leaders conversation today. How you guys feel about that?
Come on. It's going to be good.
So excited. So excited.
I'm pumped. I'm excited, one, because I'm a seven, and so everything excites
Typical.
Me.
Typical. Yeah.
I don't do anything that doesn't excite me, right? That's our sevens. But and then you guys are threes, mm-hmm. So I'm going to see who has the better content today.
Oh, right. Gosh.
Oh, no. No. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
So let's just jump this off. Cody, we'll start with you just to get the listeners a little familiar with you, and then we'll go to you, Anna, with this as well. Where are you located now, Cody, and what have you kind of done in ministry so far?
So I'm actually located in Southeast Michigan, just outside of Detroit, at a church called Rock Church, and I'm the next gen pastor here at Rock Church, and I've been in ministry here for just a little less than a year, but my overall ministry career, been in ministry a little over a decade now.
Awesome. Well, I love it. It's so good to have you again. For the third time on the podcast, and for the very first time on the podcast, was Anna Johnson. Let's talk to you a little bit. We know where you're located. You're right here at Grand Rapids. But what position do you hold, and how long have you been doing that, and what's kind of your journey to here?
Yeah, so I'm the next-gen administrative assistant. You're just here at Grand Rapids first. I've been here almost a year.
Wow.
I'm, like, getting there. Almost a year, loving it. Worked at a couple churches before, and just here I am. I ended up here.
Here I am, world. Awesome. Well, let's jump into the conversation a little bit for today. I'm going to swing this question to you, Pastor Cody. What is the Enneagram? I know we've heard all this talk about it on social media. I know millennials love Enneagram because it's another way we can talk about ourselves. But what is the Enneagram, and where did it all come from? Like, where did this come from?
So the Enneagram is a model of human psyche, which is principally understood and taught as a typology of personalities. And all of these personalities are supposed to be interconnected. And the brilliance there is that the origins, the kind of entomology of a lot of the Enneagram study is really in many ways ancient, but more modernly. The reason why it's become such a popular thing recently is a guy born in the 30s named Oscar Ishazo. He took a lot of these ancient studies and kind of put them together and structured them differently. It wasn't just him, right? But kind of a lot of what he brought together was the more modern version of this that kind of helps us in today's age. And it has really caught up a lot with millennials because it is a fascinating way for us to look at ourselves. Hmm. But ultimately, the Enneagram is more than just a personality test or type. The Enneagram is really a tool for self-discovery in a lot of ways, to look at the good, the bad, the ugly. It's more than just a strengths finder. It's more than just where are you gifted or how do you perceive the world. It really is a look at sort of the great things, but also at times some of the struggles and the kind of internal conflicts that all of us face. But uniquely, what you face might be very different than what I face, right?
Right.
It's kind of interesting to look at how that all plays together and how they are all interconnected.
Well, I think I love the most about the Enneagram is it gets down to the motivations of the why behind the what.
Yep.
Right. I think a lot of things I've seen show us the what of this person. This type may do this, or this type may do this. And you see the actions. But I think the Enneagram takes it into a way and puts it in a language that's understandable and puts it into a language that's neat. But it also gives the motivations as to why we do what we do, you know?
For sure.
Anna, anything you want to add on to that?
Yeah. Nope. I was just going to say motivations, you know, goes so much deeper than personality. That's definitely a part of it. But yeah, just fears and struggles and sin and motivations, and it's kind of a combination of all, you know?
Yeah, it's phenomenal stuff, and I'm excited to kind of dive into more and more of what this is. So let me ask you this, Anna, I'll start with you. How does this affect the leadership of ourselves and of others? How does this really affect how we understand leadership?
For sure, yeah. I think for me personally, it gave me so much more compassion for people. It's hard to understand why people are doing things if you don't realize that their world is different than yours, and they're motivated and scared and sinning with different things maybe that you are. So I think just as a leader, it's so good to know, like, no one thinks the way I do exactly, you know? And so it gives you so much more compassion for people who are different than you, or people that you might not understand right off the bat.
Right, like my normal is different than your normal.
Yep.
Or what I think may be original and correct and right, may not be the same for you because of not just because of my past and my history and things like that, but because of the way I view the world. You know? And we view the world in different ways and different, like you said, different fears, different motivations all go into how we view the world. Pastor Cody, what about you? What are some ways that really this affects how we lead ourselves and others?
Yeah, I think I love what Anna said. I think it's so true. There's a lot of wisdom. And I think if I were to kind of piggyback off what she said, I think personalities affect the three big P's in our lives. It affects the way that we perceive the world and others, right?
Yeah.
And all of us, right? Like Anna said, perceive things differently. Like we could have a very, very similar stance on a certain topic, but even because we see the same thing happen or unfold, the situation that occurred, I'm going to perceive the events of that situation uniquely through the lens of my life and my personality. And you're going to perceive the events of that occurrence uniquely through the lens of your personality. So it affects the first P, which is what we perceive. Then it affects how we process what we perceive. And then the third P would be how we present ourselves. So what we perceive, how we process, and then the way that we present ourselves. All of those things are affected by our personalities. And the big P, personality, adjusting all of those smaller subsequent Ps, really affects the way that we lead ourselves and the way that we lead others. I think about the great commandment that Jesus gave, to love God with all your heart and then to love others. Is a big deal, but there's actually a little subline that oftentimes is left out, but it's to love others as we love ourselves. And oftentimes our view of God and our view of others is broken because our view of ourselves oftentimes is broken.
Wow.
And so I think if we can learn to love ourselves well, if we can be real with ourselves well, it's going to help us be real with God and it's going to help us be real with others. Absolutely. And I think ultimately leadership, even though the command is to love, I think oftentimes that command to love isn't necessarily exclusive to leadership, that you can say, hey, I want to love you well. I want to lead you well in this process. I don't want to just get results out of you. I want to help my team become the best version of themselves as they can be.
Right. I think that's so good. The three P's. Give us those three P's one more time. You said.
Yeah. It's the way that we perceive things.
Right.
You know, what we perceive, how we process what we perceive. And then the way that we present ourselves.
Love it. Love it. And I think of, do you guys remember the movie Vantage Point? There was a movie of, like, you know, there's a world leader or president or something like that. And a world leader got shot. And they played this movie. And they played this same 15-minute sequence, but it's from everybody's different vantage point. So this person saw something different from their camcorder. But this person saw it differently from there. And this person was up on the rooftop. And they saw it differently. And this person was on the stage, and so they saw it differently. And you begin to piece together the whole puzzle. And I think that's what's so beautiful about working a team and working together with people is we can, once we understand more about ourselves, once we're comfortable with how we perceive ourselves and perceive other people, we can put a greater picture together of what this world is supposed to look like and what our organization is supposed to look like, what are our youth ministries or what ministries we lead is supposed to look like. And without that, it's really just incomplete. You know, it's an incomplete picture of what we're supposed to see.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think so much of our ministries, right? We want to build healthy ministries and have healthy outreaches. We want to have healthy functions, healthy leaders. But so much of ministry is built on the pastor and leader that's running it. So I really believe that healthy ministry is a byproduct of healthy leadership.
Right.
And so if you've got internal struggles, if you as a leader aren't necessarily as well calibrated or as well adjusted as you could be, your ministry ultimately is going to be limited or hindered or kind of hamstrung to its capacity. And so I just really believe that if you want full, healthy, vibrant ministry, at some level, you've got to come back and even look at yourself and your team personally and going, hey, are we as a team, am I as a leader, as healthy and well-rounded as I can be? And what can I do to grow personally so that the ministry can benefit?
That's right. And so I love that. That's just great language, I think, to what this really speaks to our leadership. And I think, too, if I can add on to that, it helps us identify where our weak spots are, mm-hmm. right? It helps us to identify where I'm weak as a leader, where I'm weak as an individual, where I struggle as, where are my blind spots as a leader? And it helps us to be more and more self-aware. And I think as the more self-aware we can be as leaders and as people who lead organizations and teams and things like that, or whether it was just to be the person that's on the team, if you can be more self-aware as an individual, it will help you to know where this is where I need to grow. This is where I need to put boundaries more on my life. This is where I need to put more structure maybe and accountability can grow in that area. And I think it helps us. And again, the language of it is so clean and so understandable, I think, for even the novice of learners when it comes to personality tests and things like that. I want to shift to maybe some of the gifts each type has. Anna, I'm gonna hit you with what are some of the gifts that maybe like the first three mm-hmm. Enneagram types, and kind of go through what those are, and then like what are some of the gifts that each type has?
Yeah. So there's 9 types in total. So the first one is typically known as the perfectionist, which makes sense. Number one, perfection. Yeah, it's kind of ironic, but
they and number ones love knowing that, hey, we're number one.
Right. But yeah, they tend to be super reliable. They are motivated by the need to perfect the world and themselves. They're very big on perfecting processes. They're very, very talented on seeing what's wrong with the process and just wanting to improve it. So that's kind of the perfectionist. That's kind of what they're motivated by.
Right.
The type two is the helper. They're typically warm and giving. Very servant focused. They are motivated by the need to be needed and to be loved. And so they love helping other people. They feel needed. They feel loved by helping other people, basically. The type three is the performer. That's what I am. That's what Pastor Cody is.
Those threes.
The threes.
Come on.
We are very success oriented. We are motivated by the need to be and or appear successful and avoid failure. We are very productive. We're the doers. We're the get-it-done people.
I love those type of people in an organization. Just, yes. We're going to get it done. Give me the ball. Get out of the way.
Right.
Right? Like, I'm sure Michael Jordan was a three. I had to know. Like, hey, give me the ball. Get out of the way.
I'm sure.
I can get this done.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Awesome. Pastor Cody, any thoughts on those three, those first three types?
No, that was a really, really phenomenal description. I love all of those, especially the three. I'm biased, but mm-hmm. the three is a great description there.
Oh, why don't you hit us with the next three then? What are the next three types?
Yeah. So in sequence, the next one, the type four, is called the individualist. And these people are sensitive. They tend to be more withdrawn. They could also tend to be very self-absorbed. An unhealthy type four can be very self-absorbed or temperamental. Ultimately, these people are incredibly creative. If you've got spots in your team where you want creativity and collaboration, these people are going to fuel that fire very, very well. Next, you've got The type five, that is known as the investigator. These people are very intense. These are very cerebral people. They are perceptive. They're innovative. They can also be very secretive and isolated. They kind of have that bent towards isolation. But they are going to notice and observe things, weaknesses, holes or gaps in the organization that probably others wouldn't. These are great people to have to be watching and looking at things. These are quality control level people that can really help to make sure that everything is functioning as good as they have. Some of the similar giftings of a one in that they have a bent towards perfectionism. Ones tend to be more geared towards refining a process. Fives tend to be more of, I want to identify what the problem is. And then sixes are phenomenal people. Sixes are loyalists. They are committed, security-oriented type people, and they are very engaging. They're very responsible. These people are salt of the earth. They are the thing that makes the world go round. Yeah. Everybody, every boardroom, every leadership team ought to have a six in the room. Anytime they make a big decision, anytime that they're going to go do something, I wonder how many times a six has jumped in to save them.
What about this?
Yeah. Sixes have a gifting for almost always being kind of worst case scenario thinkers, which can be a weakness, right? Because they can, if they're unhealthy, they can default towards worrying and anxious kind of thing. And always looking at the worst. But it could also make them incredibly helpful. If you've got dreamers or visionaries in the room, these people are going to kind of pump the brakes a little bit and help you think through processes to go, hey, is this realistic? Is this healthy? Is this feasible? And can we accomplish this? And so every dreamer needs a six on the team for sure. But they're phenomenal people. They're some of the nicest, kindest people out there. My wife is a six, so
I can tell you went long on those sixes. You said, I just love a six. Oh. There's nothing like a six in the room. That's I tell you. Awesome, awesome. Anna, would you go ahead and hit us with those last three?
Yes.
With, I think, the best number of them all. Go ahead.
Yes, there is truly nothing like a type seven. I'm only saying this.
We're all one of a kind.
I'm married to one, so I totally get it. Type sevens are known as the enthusiast. So much fun, so much energy, a very, very cool gift of just vision. They're big dreamers. They are motivated by a need to be happy, super extroverted normally, just lots of fun. Lots of fun.
Lots of fun. Lots of fun. What are maybe some of the, just keep going about the seven.
Okay.
They are the Tigger of the Enneagram world.
They are the Tigger.
We're just bouncing.
Awesome. Yes.
Come on.
We wake up and we just jump out of bed. I tell you what, it's.
That's right. It's one of a kind.
It doesn't matter. Best friend.
Oh, love it. Love it. Go ahead.
So type eight is known as the challenger. These people are commanding, intense, not afraid of confrontation, very strong, strong-willed, opinionated.
Powerful.
Yes, powerful. Just heavily motivated by the need to be strong and in control. And that's a good picture of the challenger.
That's a good picture. Just this is what it is.
Yes, and they are normally pretty easy to identify.
Yes,
they are. On a positive note, those eights, they can be decisive and really born leaders. There's a lot of positive qualities.
Great leaders.
But you don't want to be on their bad side.
Yeah.
And then finally the nines. Everybody loves nines.
Yes, everyone loves nines. They are. I heard someone refer to them as the sweet tooth or just the sweethearts of just the Enneagram. They're the peacemakers, super pleasant, just laid back, flexible. They are just motivated by trying to keep the peace and to avoid conflict. Yeah, they're the best.
They are the best.
Yeah.
They are. I mean, I think sevens and threes are pretty good, but nines are pretty cool. Nines are pretty cool too.
Well,
hey, we're gonna hold off on that and go to part two of the podcast. If you want to keep listening, we're gonna talk the next time we join us with these two about how each one of these types lead in a healthy manner, and then also what we can learn from different types. And so thanks so much for listening to the Vertical Leadership Podcast. We truly believe if the leader is empowered, the entire organization will grow. This has been a phenomenal conversation, and we are excited to keep it going. Thanks so much for listening. Like and subscribe. Go follow us on Instagram at Vertical Podcast, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks again for taking time to grow as leaders. We are looking forward as we continue to build our culture in student ministries.